Now, we all know at the theme of our camp, and that's from Revelations 3:11, so we don't have to turn to that. But it's about, behold, I come quickly. And I suppose today, you know, with my talk, I just wanted to have a look at those particular few words, behold, I come quickly. You know, when I first came to the Lord, that was quite a few years ago now. I was 15 at that time, so, you know, 36 years has passed by since then. But even back then, you know, when I was coming along to the meetings and you'd hear talks and this scripture would be mentioned or other scriptures would be mentioned about the Lord's soon return, and I really believed it. You know, I thought, yes, you know, I can see it. The Lord's coming back soon. But although time has passed by since then and a lot of years have passed by, you know, I still believe that, you know, the Lord's coming back soon. And I suppose that's how we should all think, you know, that the Lord is coming back. He could be coming back tomorrow. And all the people said. And it's an instruction, I suppose, for us, or it could be a statement as we read it. It could be a promise. It could be a warning. You know, behold, I'm coming quickly. But there's a message there, isn't it? Isn't there? And I take that as basically a warning for myself and also for others as well. You know, the Lord's coming back, you know, and what are you going to do about it? You know, are you right with God? And what about others as well? And so I was just thinking about the aspect of us being a watchman. And we've heard that term mentioned before about the watchman. And if we just go to Ezekiel 33, let's start off there. There's a few mentions of a watchman in the Old Testament. Here's one of them. So Ezekiel 33. Just have a look at one of the stories here about the role of a watchman. So I've just tried to get together a few of my favourite scriptures regarding this aspect of being a watchman for the Lord. And we'll just start off in verse 1, and again in Ezekiel 33, verse 1, and again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and take not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, and his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I've set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at thy mouth and warn them from me. And so we can see here, you know, the role of this watchman. It's an important role. You couldn't have someone doing the role who didn't take it seriously. You know, imagine if there was someone who thought, oh, yeah, you know, a good chance to get some sleep, you know, while I'm on duty. You know, what's the point of that? And that would, and in case the enemy came at that time, that could just be disastrous, couldn't it? But it was someone who had to be diligent about their role, someone who was vigilant, someone who was alert. It couldn't be someone who was a bit slack, you know, who didn't take it seriously, but someone who was going to be the ears and eyes. And when they saw the danger, they would get out there with the trumpet and blow it. And that's what they had to do. And so looking at that, and when we read that, you know, we can look at that and see that it applies to us, you know, because God has made us the modern-day watchman, hasn't he? And all the people said. And so, you know, we've got a role, a responsibility, And I suppose it's up for us to do something with what we've got. And we know God's given us something wonderful, the Holy Spirit. And you know, I'm sure all of us, when the Holy Spirit comes to our lives, we want to do something with it. And because after all, it's the power of God in our lives. It's changed our lives. We've seen the change that's happened to us. We know the change can happen to others as well. And with the Holy Spirit coming into our lives, you know, we don't have to be quiet about it. It's something to be excited about. And sometimes people don't like that, do they? You know, they'll tell you to shut up or, you know, tell you to get lost. But the point is, you know, we've got something fantastic. So, you know, we go out and we tell others about it. And we don't have to turn to it, but in Isaiah 62, it talks about how this a watchman, you know, will never hold their peace. Those that mention the Lord, keep not just silence. And that's really us, you know. We don't have to keep silent, do we? We just go on and tell people about what God has done or what he's doing in our lives. Don't have to turn to it, but we'll go into the New Testament. You know, it talks about in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, it talks about, go ye out into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. And that's what, you know, I believe we've been called to do as well, to go out there and preach the gospel, preach the truth. You know, the truth of God has come into our life and it's changed us. And one thing, you know, when I talk to people, I say to them is, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it's going to change your life and your life is never going to be the same again. It's going to change for the better. And I say that because, you know, I've seen it happen to myself. But not only that, I've seen it happen to other people as well. So it's something that we can be confident about, can't we? You know, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life changes for the better. And sometimes, you know, people can react badly to that. Actually, one of the sisters up north, she was given a testimony recently, and she's out there regularly preaching most days in the city. And she'd gone up to a young man, and this young man obviously didn't take kindly to what she'd said, and he'd had a mouthful of Coke and decided to spit it in her face. Terrible, isn't it? So people, you know, don't always take kindly to the word, and sometimes you just don't know what the reactions are going to be. But it doesn't stop you from preaching the word of God, does it? You know, we've got to get out there. If we just go to Isaiah 61. So in Isaiah 61, we'll just look at a couple of verses here. In verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So I just wanted to leave it at those two verses. But that first bit there, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And that's what's happened to us. The Spirit of God is upon us now. It's not just on Joe Bloggs and Mary Smith, but upon us, but to do something with it. And with the Spirit in our lives, we can do mighty things. You know, the commission is does come back on us a bit. And it tells us here, you know, to go preach the gospel, you know, to bind up the brokenhearted, set the captives free. And that's the sort of things, you know, we can tell other people about. And also in the New Testament, we read about how we can go out and lay hands on the sick and seeing them recover as well. So with the Spirit in our lives, there's many things we can do with it. And why wouldn't we use the Spirit in our lives? It's there to be used, you know. We've got the power of God in our lives. And with the power of God, you know, we just have access to so much. And I suppose sometimes we'll never realize, you know, our full potential that's God has given us. We'll access some of it, I'm sure, but we'll probably never realize the full potential that God has given us. And if we just go to 2 Timothy 4, so 2 Timothy 4 in verse 2, we'll just start off there. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And so we can see, you know, from here, an encouragement to go out, preach the gospel. You know, I like this bit where it talks about reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Now, when we read the word of God, you know, obviously there is that reproof, rebuke, and exhortation, but it's something for us to do as well with the word of God, because out there, there's so much error, isn't there? And we see it, you know. There's thousands of churches out there, thousands of beliefs, and people are going away from the truth. And we see it today. You know, a lot of people, unfortunately, are turning to Eastern religion or Eastern philosophies, and that is not going to save anybody. You know, it might bring comfort or peace in their lives, and I've known a good friend of mine, he's turned to that, and he was someone who got the Holy Spirit many years ago or with us, but he's turned to that, you know, because that's where he finds a comfort in. And another friend of mine, you know, we all grew up Catholics, and we all believed in God, you know, and we talk about God. But then I only saw him recently, and he'd said, I've become an atheist. And I nearly fell off my chair. I thought, what? You know, we were brought up to believe God, and how can you turn around and become an atheist? And that's because over time, you know, people get disillusioned, don't they, with the things that they see and hear out there. But as for us, you know, we're not disillusioned. We found the truth. But unfortunately, out there, there is this these fables that are going about. You know, there's these fairy tales, you know, there's this fiction, and people are falling for that, unfortunately, and they'd rather take comfort from those things than from the things of God. But as for us, you know, we know that we've got the truth, and the thing we've got, it's not fiction, it's not fables, it's not fairy tales, but it's something that's proven, you know, time and time and time again. And we know, you know, when the Holy Spirit has come into our lives, we've changed for the better. You don't change for the worse. You know, you change for the better. You know, things can come upon you. You might think, gee, you know, all I've had since I got the Holy Spirit is trouble and strife. But we've got God in our lives. And he'll said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll always be with us. And so, you know, with the job we've got to do, you know, we do it gladly. This bit about making full proof of our ministry, that's in verse 5. It means to entirely accomplish our ministry, and we go out there and we've give it all we've got. You know, I'm the sort of person, you know, I have to admit, when I do jobs, I do a lot of half jobs, I have to admit, because I look at something and I think, yeah, that needs to be done, and then I think, well, that job needs to be done as well, and so there's this, this, and this, and so I keep thinking to myself, well, I know I'm not going to finish this job in time, so I'll start the other job, so at least in my mind I can say to myself, yes, I've started this job as well. And before I know it, I've got all these half jobs that I haven't finished. And it can be a bit frustrating, but with what the Lord's given us, you know, let's finish it completely. Let's finish off or entirely accomplish what God has given us. And that's what, you know, we want to do, you know, is to be able to say, you know, the Lord's saying to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord, because we've been given something wonderful, and we know the Lord's coming back, and we want to share that with others as well, and all the people said, amen.